John 16 from verse 23. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And in that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you've loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father, and I have come into the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. And his disciples said, "Ah, now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we've had the most incredible privilege over the last few weeks of sitting, eavesdropping, as you talk to your inner circle of disciples. We are so grateful that you, Holy Spirit, accurately recorded these things for us. We are so thankful, Father, that we have the words of your Son right here in front of us. Not the words of Aristotle or Plato, not the words of some president, the words of the Son of God are here for us. Now open minds, open hearts, help us to understand, we pray. Amen. Who remembers, and you don't have to say, you don't have to let anyone else know you remember. You can keep it a secret. Who remembers what a filofax is? Or was, not is, was. Who remembers what a tom-tom was? Okay, I'll come a bit closer in case that's too far away. Who remembers what a desk directory is? Or who remembers, I'll come closer. Who remembers what a CD looks like? See, yeah. See, if you're still using CDs, you are old school. All of us young people use Spotify now. Isn't it funny how things become obsolete so quickly? So quickly, they just become obsolete. Talking about obsolete, think of James Bond. Absolutely obsolete. I remember going to James Bond only to see the gadgets. And I remember, I was there in the one James Bond movie where he, you're never going to believe, he made a phone call from his car while it was moving. It was unbelievable. And I tried to figure out, how does that cable roll out the back and how does it retract again? It was astonishing. Things become obsolete because something better gets invented. And so they get replaced. And really, they are, that's what the word obsolete means, of no more use. And so we look back and we don't need it anymore at all. It's got no value, and it's no loss. We don't miss it. In fact, the only thing left is nostalgia. That's all. But it's a very serious loss when you think something is obsolete, but you're wrong. When you think something is no longer essential, but it is. Our society has deemed a few things to be obsolete, which are not. And I think the best example of this is fatherhood. We've reached a point in our society, I think, where fatherhood has become obsolete. You have a category of things that are essential. Here's things you must have. Here are things that are nice to have. And a father belongs in the nice to have category, but not essential. I'm overstating it. I admit that. Maybe I'm overstating it. Well, let me overstate it even more. It's almost as if a father is a sperm donor, and he has no other function that can't just as easily be done by any other responsible adult. In other words, fathers are replaceable. You don't have to have them. If push comes to shove, a child needs a mother more than a father. If you're only going to have one, have a mother. Now, I could get into the blame game. Who should we blame for this? Well, I think it's obvious. The blame lies squarely on us fathers. The truth of the matter is, men have been so poor at being fathers, our modern society looks at it and thinks, well, with fathers like that, who needs fathers? It's our fault, men. Nobody else's fault. It's us. And so I wonder how many people here this morning can say this. My father was absolutely amazing. Every child on earth would be so much better off if they had a father like mine. I reckon there are some people here this morning who can say that, and you ought to be very thankful to God. But there are many others who don't feel that way at all. In fact, there are many others here who have real sadness about their father. There are many here who, when they hear the word father, are filled with disappointment, anger, resentment, hurt, and even trauma. So why do I start like this? Is this a talk on fatherhood? No. Here's why I start like this. Today, we're going to talk about God as Father. And the term Father has become so badly represented on earth that the term father has almost been emptied of all value and meaning. In fact, for many people, father is another F word. It's got negative connotations. And there are many people like that. And if you're one of those people, I hope you'll stay and hear. Because what we're going to see this morning in our passage, Jesus Christ is going to teach us about the Father, and the most amazing thing we're going to see, truly astonishing, is that if you're a Christian, this does not apply to everyone, this is only for Christians, you have a perfect Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say to all of you, Christian or not, whoever you are, you're so welcome here. I want to say to you, irrespective of your experience, you need a perfect father. You need it. I need it. It can never be obsolete. Without a perfect father, you will not flourish. You won't. Fatherhood does not need to be replaced. Fatherhood needs to be recovered. Fatherhood can never be obsolete. Never. Ain't nothing better ever going to be invented. Ever. Fatherhood needs to be resurrected. You can't live without a perfect father. If you try, you will be lost, alone, an orphan in the universe with no eternal home. If you think you can navigate life without a father, if you think you can navigate life and death, it must be horrible to die without a father, then you've deceived yourself. When I had little kids, one of them, who shall remain nameless, just couldn't handle the fact that I think they ought to wear clothes. They had a problem with it. And so when I finally got this person on the bed after a bath and they would go bouncing around the bed, that was the biggest joke, then I'd say, you got to put clothes on. All right, all right. Then when I try to help, they would say to me, do it myself. Do it myself. And it was a disaster. And, you know, and after an hour, we come to church as late as all of you, really, because of the, you know. If you try and live life without a perfect father, you are thinking like that child. Do it myself. Do it myself. You need to grow up. You need a perfect father. Jesus is going to teach us three things about the Father. All about the Father. Here they are. Here's number one. The Father answers us because we ask in Jesus' name. Look with me at verse 23. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Look at what Jesus calls God, the Father. Ask the Father. Now, why does Jesus call God the Father? By the way, I think Christianity is alone here. We are the only religion where God is a Father. Be that as it may, why does Jesus call God a Father? Is it a picture? Is it just a picture to help us? Like a metaphor? Well, this is our Jesus. Well, you know, what's God like? Let me see. You know, you all got fathers, right? Okay. Well, you know, God's like that. Is that what Jesus is doing? No. It's not a picture. It's not a metaphor. God really is a father. He really is a father. He is not just a father, he is the father, says Jesus. And God has always, forever, been a father. Why? Because Jesus is eternal. And Jesus has always, forever, been the Son of God. And therefore, God has always been the Father. God never became a father, because that's impossible. God can't change. God is and always will be and always has been the Father. Ultimate reality in the universe is the Father. It's the ultimate reality in the universe. Not a mother, not an impersonal force, the Father. At the center of the universe. Look at this verse from Ephesians. Paul says, I pray like this. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Now just keep that there for a little bit, Stuart. Think with me. Look at this verse. What Paul is saying is there is the Father, and it flows down to every family on earth. In other words, think carefully. Don't project your bad experience of fatherhood onto God. Don't go up this way. So don't look at your father and think, you're a disappointment. You're a bad dad. You know, you're this. And then look at your father and then look up at God and go, so you're a bad dad. Don't project that way, because as this verse tells us, it goes the other way. What you need to do is look at God as a perfect father. then go down to your father and go, well, you're just terrible, as you would. But, you know, but you're not a great father because God is a, but you see what I'm doing. God is the Father. In other words, let me put it to you this way. We are in His image. He is not in our image. It flows down this way. Thanks, Turi. And Jesus says God is the Father, which means fatherhood is a fixed point. It can't be replaced. You can't invent something better. It's like the sun. Do you think the sun at the center of our solar system, do you think the sun's ever going to be replaced? Ah, yes, Google, definitely. One day Google's going to float balloons and they're going to have very bright globes and we're going to talk to each other. Do you remember when there was a sun? Silly old people. We don't need a sun anymore. Do you think? That's never going to happen. Human life can't flourish without the sun. The Father at the center of the universe. Human life can't flourish without His fatherhood. So what does a perfect father do? What does a perfect father do? Here's what he does. He listens to his children and he gives them whatever will lead to their joy. That's what a perfect father does. That's what Jesus says the Father does. Look at verse 23. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. So what Jesus is saying, up to now, the disciples have hung around with Jesus. And they go, hey, Jesus, please can we get some food? I'm starving. Hey, Jesus, can we walk across the water again? Because that was fun. Or whatever. You know, they ask Jesus everything. But he's saying, you don't know the Father yet. But in that day, what's that day? The day that I leave you, I'm going away. In that day, you will talk to the Father. Get it? And you'll stop asking me. And look what he says. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Notice, please, again, that Jesus says you have to ask in my name. Look at verse 23. Ask the Father in my name. Verse 24. You haven't asked anything in my name. Why? Okay, Dwayne, there's this Father. Why can't I just approach him directly? Why do I have to go in Jesus' name? The answer is, God is not your Father until you are a Christian. I know that's hard to hear. You may not like that, but that is what Jesus teaches. If you approach God without Jesus, not in His name, you will be destroyed. It is only people who know Jesus who have God as their Father. Have a look at what Jesus says here. So this is earlier in John's Gospel. To all who did receive Him, that is Jesus, to those who believed in His name, there's many of us here this morning, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What does that verse say? It says, being a child of God is not your birthright. To have God as your Father is not true just because you're a Homo sapien. You have to get it from Jesus. He can give you the right to become a child of God. But if you are a Christian, verse 24, here's the point. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Verse 24, ask, you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, I know what everyone's thinking, other than thinking about the Mercedes-Benz. Everyone is thinking, that can't be right. Everyone's thinking, what about the caveats? the small print, the conditions, the quid pro quos, you know, where's the terms and conditions? Because, whoa, that's big. Wait, what does Jesus say? Ask whatever in my name, you will receive it. That you're, wow, we got to figure out a way to water this down, don't we? No, not at all. That's what Jesus says. There is no reason to water it down. God is a perfect Father. He will give you whatever you ask for in order, says Jesus, look at that there, that your joy may be full. Whatever will contribute to your joy, the Father will give it to you. Earthly fathers, that's me, I'm one of them. We do the exact same thing. We give to our children. We withhold from our children. And all of that is so that their joy will be complete. Daddy, I'm hungry. Can I have some food, please? Yes, son. It's good for you. I want your joy to be complete. Have some food. Daddy, can I have a seventh ice cream? No. I want your joy to be full. I want your joy to be complete. It's not good for you. I'm not going to give it to you. It won't build your joy. Daddy, please will you take this suffering away? Not yet. But Daddy, it'll make me happy. My dear child, I'm not concerned about your happiness. You being happy is not important. Happiness is shallow. Happiness is temporary. Drugs can make you happy. Happiness comes and goes. Happiness is outside of yourself. Happiness depends on your circumstances and on silly things like health, wealth, and prosperity. I want your joy to be complete. It's way better, way deeper, way more long-lasting, way more soul-satisfying than that silly thing called happiness. Trust me, I am a perfect father. I am building your joy, your forever joy. That's what Jesus says. Ask, you will receive, that your joy may be full. Earthly fathers do their best and mostly fail because our wisdom's not great. And we don't know, you know, and I end up giving my child the seventh ice cream. You know why? Because I want them to be happy. Do you know why? Because it's easier for me. Truth is, if I was a better father, I'd aim for their joy, not just their brief happiness. Let me help you. This is the way to fight sin. Everybody, stop believing that sin can give you joy. Oh, sin can make you happy. Definitely. For a short while. But it can't give you joy. We need to learn to look to our Father. For only He can give us joy. Nothing in this world will give you joy but your Father. This is how to fight sin. Men, you're at the beach because you know summer's coming, right? Well, you know what they wear this summer. Yeah, just go down to Trig where I kite surf. Woo! What must I think? Here's what I must think. When you see her and you think to yourself, if only I could have her, that will make me happy, which is true. Think this. It would not make me joyful. It won't give me my joy. And here's the thing. If my good father thought that she would make my joy complete, he would give her to me. And he hasn't. So obviously it won't make my joy complete. Or you're suffering. How long? Oh Lord, how long is this going to carry on for? trust your Father. He is working in your misery to build your forever joy. There are Christians here today who will tell you it is possible to suffer and at the same time to be filled with an inexpressible joy. I want to encourage all of you. Ask your Father. That's what Jesus says. Stop doubting. Ask your Father, whatever it is. Trust your Father. He will say yes, no, not yet, whatever. Trust Him that it will be for your joy. If He says no, thank Him. He has saved you lots of pain and misery. Wouldn't it be great to have a Father who only ever wanted your joy to be complete? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be the best if you had a perfectly wise, all-powerful, rich Father who orchestrated the whole world just so that your joy will be complete? You've got that. Jesus says you got that. You've got the perfect Father. It is your Father's responsibility to look after you. And He does. The Father answers us because we ask in Jesus' name. Second thing Jesus teaches us about the Father, and I think this is, if possible, even sweeter. The Father loves us because we love His Son. The Father loves us because we love His Son. I don't know about you, but maybe this is your experience. I don't know. Isn't it amazing how some earthly fathers are very austere, very hard, very unapproachable? And when dad comes home, everyone's on alert. You know, suddenly there's eggshells everywhere because dad comes from home. He's been nice to everybody else. So he doesn't have to be nice at home anymore, does he? Because it's his house. I mean, the mortgage is his. And he comes home grumpy and irritable. Fathers, please don't do this. Do not bring your work mood home. Don't do that. Matt Malcolm gave me a great lesson long ago. He said, when you pull up to your house, switch a car off, pray before you get out the car. And you tell your Father, I'm going into this house, which is my house. I'm paying the mortgage, by the way. But I'm going in there not to be served, but to serve. You've got to suck yourselves up, fathers. Anyway, some dads are unapproachable, grumpy. So what children do is they go to mum, because mum's a soft touch, you know. And say, mum, please ask dad if I can have a sleepover. See, it's a soft touch. You go through mum. Dad is self-absorbed, angry. I can't approach him. I'll go through mum. Now, the reason I say that is because some people think that's what God is like. God sits on a throne. He's austere. He's grumpy. He's the judge of everything. He can't wait to smite the earth. But luckily, we've got Jesus, because Jesus is a soft touch. And some religions have invented others, saints and Mary and all things not in the Bible. That's not true. Listen to what Jesus says. Look at verse 25. I've said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech. I'll tell you plainly about the Father. Watch this. In that day, you will ask in my name. Now watch this. This is beautiful. I do not say to you that I'll ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you because you've loved me and have believed that I came from God. Jesus says, I don't have to go to the Father and bend his rubber arm. I don't have to go to the Father and say, oh, please love them, please love them. I know, oh, the Dwayne is horrible. I can see that, but please love him, please love him, please love him. Jesus says, I don't have to do that. The Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves you. He doesn't need to be manipulated or appeased. Christians approach your Father. He loves you. You do him a disservice. You do him a dishonor when you think you have to earn his favor. I know God will listen to me yesterday because I didn't lose my temper once. Don't think like that. He loves you. He can't love you any less or any more. So then, Dwayne, why pray in Jesus' name? If you say God loves us, why should we pray in Jesus' name? Why not just go directly to him? In fact, look at this, verse 26. In that day you will ask in my name. So you still have to pray in Jesus' name. I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you. Watch this. Because you've loved me and have believed that I came from God. I don't understand, Dwayne. Why does the Father love me? Because I love Jesus. Why is Jesus so essential? Why can't I approach God without Jesus? Here's why. Don't forget who your Father is. He is your Father. But he's also the judge of the universe. He must do the right thing. Imagine it's Christmas time, right? Imagine you've got a really good dad, excellent father, loves you, protects you, and he's also a copper. He's a policeman. Can you get those together? Yes, of course you can. Right. Imagine you go to some party, Cottesloe, your work function, I don't know, and you drink too much. You're over the limit. And you get in your car, and you try and take the back roads, whatever they are, and there's a roadblock. Big booze bus on Marmion or whatever. And as you stop, your heart, oh, and you're feeling shocking. And guess who comes to your window with a breathalyzer? Your old man. Oh, and the shame. And the, how can this be happening to me? And your father looks at you and he is so broken and disappointed. Now here's the question. What should he do? He's in a terrible bind. He's got a responsibility to you. He loves you. You're going to lose your job. There's your job gone. You're going to get a criminal record. He loves you. What should he do? Ah, but he's also a copper. He's got a responsibility, sorry, is what I meant. He's got a responsibility to society. What must he do? He's got a debt to you. He's got a debt to society. What must he do? Well, I don't know. Now scale that up a billion times. Let's talk about your father. He loves you, but he is the judge of the universe. What's he going to do? He knows your sin. I know it wasn't drink driving. It was worse. He knows. What must he do? Well, verse 28 tells us. Look what Jesus says. I came from the Father. I've come into the world. And now I'm leaving the world. And go. Why are you leaving, Jesus? You're only 33 years old. That's not a great time to leave. Why are you leaving? You're only 33. And I'm going to the Father. What's going on? Jesus is going to die on a cross. He's leaving to go back to the Father via the cross. In fact, that's why he came from the Father. He was sent from the Father. He came into the world to die on a cross. When Jesus hung on that cross, he took our drink driving. He took the penalty that our sins deserve. God's perfect justice was poured onto Jesus. So when you trust in Jesus, when you love Jesus, when you cling to Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Your drink driving is washed away. Justice has been done, settled, sorted. And your Father looks at you with absolute love, acceptance. He sent his Son to die in your place. That's how much he loves you. And so when your Father looks at you, is he angry with you? No, impossible. Not possible. Yes, but Dwayne, do you know what I did yesterday? I don't care. If you trust in Jesus, your Father can't be angry with you. He left His Son to die for you. If you try and approach God, circumventing the cross, you will be destroyed. If you try and be good, or if you try and be religious, the only way to approach God is through the cross, where Jesus died for you. Wouldn't it be great if you had a Father who loved you unconditionally? Wouldn't it be great if you had a Father who loved you even to the point of His own hurt, where He had to self-sacrifice for you, had to give up golf or give up His own Son? If you're a Christian, that's your Father. That's the Father you have. The Father answers us because we ask in Jesus' name. The Father loves us because we love His Son. And thirdly and finally, the Father gives us peace in Jesus because He has overcome the world. One of the greatest blessings of having a Father is safety and security. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Look with me in verse 29. So His disciples said, now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know all things. We know you know all things. We do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. And watch this. Verse 31, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me all alone. Don't you? It's such a come downer. Jesus can pop your balloons very easily. Look, now we believe you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, I got this. You came from God. I am with you, Jesus. You know, Jesus said, do you believe? You're going to run away. First sign of trouble, buddy. You're going to run away. Your faith is yay big. No. I can't do it. It's too small. Your faith is pathetic. Your faith is tiny. You are on the edge of abandoning me. So how can this come about? Look at verse 33. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. What? Is everyone struggling like I am? How can I have peace, Jesus, when you've told me my faith is so weak? How can you tell me? But folks, this is what makes fatherhood so essential. Jesus doesn't play games. He looks at his disciples and he says, your faith is shocking. It's weak. But look what he says. 32, yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that's what you need a Father for. When you are weak, when you're vulnerable, your Father is with you. That's what makes fatherhood so essential. Your Father is always with you. Well, actually, says Jesus, he's always with me. Well, I still don't understand. Wait, everyone think. Jesus, you're saying that we'll run away from you, we'll let you down, but you're okay because the Father is always with you. Okay, I get that. How does that give me peace? How does that give me peace? Well, he solves it for us. Look at verse 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. How can it give me peace when you've told me my faith is weak? How can that give me peace? Look what he says in verse 33. I've said these things to you, that in me. Here's what Jesus is saying. The Father is always with the Son. The Father will never forsake the Son. And here's the thing, if you're a Christian, you're in the Son. You get it? If you're a Christian, the Father will never, ever forsake you. The Father will never leave you alone as long as you're a Christian. As long as you're in Jesus. Can the Father forget Jesus? Never. Can the Father forget you? Never. Listen to what God says from the Old Testament, Isaiah. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Is there a mother here who genuinely has forgotten their child? Surely not. And yet, says God, even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Do you know, it's astonishing that that actually became literally true. Thomas got to feel in the hands of Jesus the proof of that promise. God says, I will never leave. True fatherhood, always, always there to protect the weak and the vulnerable. Doesn't matter how strong their faith is. Doesn't matter how weak they are. That's what true fatherhood is about. And that's what our Father does for us. Our peace is in our Father. Dwayne, but you don't know. I abandoned him yesterday. I was at school and my friends were saying bad things about Jesus and I didn't own up. And I didn't say I know Jesus. I abandoned him. Jesus says, in me, you will have peace. My Father will never abandon you. Never. You know, I was in the mountains once. Now look, the minute I talk about mountains, people in Perth struggle. Okay, so a mountain's very high thing. Goes up into the sky. And this was in South Africa, and I was on holiday in the mountains. And I was doing what the perfect father does. I was barbing. You know, that's what a perfect father does. I was in the campsite doing a little barbie, and the children were very little playing in the cottage. Now, in the mountains, a storm can come like that. Literally, it's just like, where did that come from? And suddenly, there's no rain yet, there'll be thunder, rolling thunder. And it's quite dramatic. It's quite fun, actually. Anyway, so I'm barbing, and the little ones are playing in our cottage, and the storm comes from nowhere. And suddenly, out of nowhere, there is this crack of lightning. They'll make you jump, you know, because you're quite high up. My little daughter, Kaylee, comes out that cottage. She is running full tilt with fear that you cannot, you know, just absolute terror. But she didn't see me. She disorientated, didn't know where I was. And I watched her, and she's sprinting like this. Who knows where? I don't know where she's going. And so I shout, Kaylee, Kaylee. And she just turned and didn't change pace, nothing, and sprinted straight at me and broke the world long jump record. She jumped from about that speaker, just launched herself into my chest. And there she clung to me, and it was amazing how her face, because I got a picture of this, changed. She was with her father. She was at peace. Now here's the thing. She's so dumb. Because I can't control the lightning and the thunder. I've got huge biceps. But how they get, you know, there's nothing I can do. You know, she was deluded. But she, now, let's ratchet that up a bit. Imagine a father who will never leave you. Imagine a father who can control lightning, thunder. Imagine a father inconceivably powerful. Surely in his arms you can be at peace. Look at what he says. This is how Jesus gives it. I give my sheep eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. I'd rather nails go through my hand than someone take my sheep out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. In me, you will have peace, says Jesus. Why worry? Why worry? You can have lots of troubles. Look at verse 33. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, everybody look at this, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. Do not fall for a Christianity that says you will not have tribulation. You will. But take heart. I have overcome the world. The Father answers us because we ask in Jesus' name. The Father loves us because we love His Son. The Father gives us peace in Jesus because He has overcome the world. Why are you worried? What are you worried about?